Heads up, true believers. I wanted to put this together at the beginning of this episode because later in this episode, you'll find that Matt just kind of disappears. His computer crashed in the middle of us recording this episode. We were not able to finish with Matt's audio, and it was just me and Ashley at the end of it. So, kind of in an effort to get the Stranded Panda Network back on its feet, on its technological feet, being that Matt does so much work for audio and video editing for the network, pretty much everything comes out of that computer. I have set up a GoFundMe page for Matt because he needs a new computer, and that one completely crapped out. We need something to get him set back up. I have put a GoFundMe link into the Stranded Panda chat in Facebook if you are a Facebook follower, but I'll put it in the show notes for this episode. Just please, anything that you can give, please help. We need to get Matt a working computer again because this laptop that he's running on is not cutting it. Please help out, true believers. Thanks. Until next time. Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, there is so much to discuss about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Season 1, Episode 2, and everything else, but we're talking feedback and theories, so come along. All that and more after this episode we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair tonight, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
Great. How are you guys?
Oh, you know, horrible. Just I know. Utterly awful.
Matt's but got a case of the Mondays.
Let's move on. Let's just get right into things. We've been trying to start the podcast for an hour and a half, basically. So... really ready to get started and talk about Marvel. And now it's going to be a short cast tonight because we've burned up all of our evening.
Damn Harbulary batteries
is right.
Real quick, I want to plug the MCU cast with a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah.
Hopeful Buyer says, wow, holy balls, this is good. That's the subject line. So you know you're in for a treat. If you enjoy Marvel or are just jumping in, this podcast is a must listen. I started listening less than a year ago, and it has greatly influenced my appreciation and understanding of the MCU and Marvel history. Matt, the other guy, and Jeff bring grade A listening and deep cuts at an understanding level for all types of fans. I love the geeking out moments where they go super deep and then explain it to a dirty casual, but I enjoy even more the other moments where they're making jokes about Cap's bod. If you aren't listening, you're doing yourself a disservice. Plug in now.
Those aren't jokes. Those are just me and Jeff thirsting over Cap's bod.
Super thirsty.
And now that we've got Ashley,
yeah,
the thirst is real.
And yes. We started on our TikTok this week, the wonderful Melissa Khalil, who's in the chat right now.
What up, Melissa?
Started the 100 Days of Thirst for Chris Evans, which I'm pretty excited about. So go check out our Stranded Panda TikTok. It's really quite... Quite fun. Those have been very funny.
That first one where she had water in her face was so funny.
Don't spoil it.
Oh,
don't
sorry.
Spoil it. they've all been really funny. I can't.
I know.
Can't mark her.
If we say it though,
makes me so sad. That's true. No, if we say it, just means that's another thing I have to cut out.
Yeah. So we need to be super extra professional tonight.
Yeah. Ex-professional. No mistakes. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're going to dive right in to talking about this episode. And Ashley's Corner is the first place we do on Mondays. Oh, yeah. We stop at Ashley's Corner and see what she's saying.
I'm going to keep it nice and short and sweet because I feel like as we're talking, a lot of the feedback is a lot of how I feel. It was great. Within it was 8 minutes, our boys were together, and I said it had to be under 15, and I was pretty happy about that.
Yep, same.
I like the banter and the back and forth, and I know everybody's trying to stick up for this phony Cap, but we saw his true colors within the last couple minutes, so I don't want to hear it. I was on his side. I was even like, okay, you're helping. You're doing a good job, kind of. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a lot I hadn't noticed the first watch. Mm-hmm. That I was rewatching it this morning, and there's a line from his good friend, Lamar, is that his name?
Yeah.
Lamar Hoskins.
Yeah. Battlestar,
he goes up to me, he's like, yeah, man, this is the job. You can't just punch your way out of all your problems anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I took that first scene, the first time I watched it, I took that whole first scene as like, they're humanizing him, they're making him like look like he's really trying to do good. But like, that line is really suspect.
Yeah.
You can't just punch your way out of all your problems anymore. Like, his best friend is telling him like, maybe a little less violence and more thought.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, who is this guy?
See it in his eyes.
Yeah.
I can read you.
That last moment, like you said, the last moment of the episode. And as Sam says, it's always that last line. You always have to have that last line.
It's always that last line.
He says it in the episode. And then there's like that wonderful last line of,
stay the hell out of my way.
Stay the hell out of my way. Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. Who the hell do you think you are?
Ugh. How many universes have you saved? Yeah.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to, sir?
It seemed to me, I don't know why, I felt like the fight on the trucks, that was cool and everything, but I'm like, Bucky, I know you're stronger than this. What's happening? Like, stop pulling your punches, Buck.
I do feel like there's a little bit of a weird thing going on with power levels, because, like, Buck is a super soldier. So there's 5 super soldiers on the truck. Like, Bucky could get wasted, right? But the new Captain America, who is not a super soldier, they did make a point that he's a really high level human, but he's not a super soldier. But he still like was able to really do well against 5 super soldiers. You know, it was kind of I mean, he fought them. He like knocked a few of them over.
Yeah, but he used to like thing. Remember in
he used the
I
shield.
Think in Civil War, it shows him like training all those other people to be super soldiers, and sure, like those people took him down a little bit, but he still put up a heck of a lot of fight. I guess he's not as, I don't know. I need them
to
remember how strong Bucky is.
You're talking about Bucky, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's why they threw him on the bottom of the truck. They literally threw him under the bus. that's the thing. They have him like hanging out under the truck the entire time instead of engaging in this battle. And it's kind of like, okay, well, I guess you're going to have to do that. And it's like Falcon is not as strong as Bucky. Mm-hmm. He can fly. He can do tactical things that Bucky can't do. But like, it's just kind of a weird, like the power levels are all over the place. And I don't really understand. Like I was constantly thinking about that in this episode. Like why is this new Captain America, who is less trained, less experienced in this kind of stuff than Falcon, and he's performing way better in that scene, it seemed. I agree with you. It's weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Bucky just, you know, started whooping ass on top of the truck, the show would have been over. And
right.
Get out of here with your logic. I don't need logic. Talk about super soldiers.
I'm just saying, like, it was a writing
It's as if you, it's
error.
As if this stuff is written, you know?
He just jumped out of a plane.
Yeah.
Right? Like, scene, Bucky, you just jumped out of a plane.
Yeah. Take that little girl down. I love that scene. I don't care. I think that stuff's funny. But he's like, you're going to let that little girl beat you up? I was like, yes.
They needed to say the line. They needed to be able to say the line of, that little girl whooped your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And another line I really liked this time on the second viewing that I hadn't caught really before was when he said, have you jumped on a grenade?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really, I saw your TikTok great. Video about that.
Yes, I wasn't going to use it as another chance to promote my TikTok, but Stranded Panda on TikTok, I made a video like showing that scene where he's like, have you ever jumped on a grenade?
I have, actually, 4 times.
That was a really funny response. I have to do this thing with my helmet. It's reinforced.
Yeah, what a jerk. Yeah. People were saying, like, somebody posted something in the chat, and they're like, there's 100 other things that Steve could have done to use an example, like, why they use that one.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's the only thing he did. Not the only thing, but that's something he did when he was still, you know, little Steve. as we like to call him.
I don't know that's the only time he ever jumped on a grenade. Like, there's, I actually don't think that that example is Bucky's example, because Bucky was not there.
Probably heard about
at that base at that time. It probably heard about it.
That's a pretty big story.
Cap put a shield over a grenade in Bucky's apartment in, I think it was Bucharest? Wherever Cap picked him up from in Civil War.
So that's actually pretty similar to what New Cap is saying.
Don't call him New Cap.
Every time I say New Cap, I think New Coke.
Worse.
Which
there you go.
People didn't like. That's why I think it's kind of fitting.
Okay, that's fitting. That's fitting. I'll go with it. Okay. I'll follow you there. His name is John.
I don't think that was necessarily the one that he was talking about, but it might have been. That obviously the legend could have preceded him or whatever, or like gotten out after that event.
He did go read all about his feats at the Smithsonian, so I bet that was on there. Like, that's how he got picked.
That's true. I do think that, you know, he knows Steve better than anybody. Like, from before the serum, he knows him better than anybody.
Yeah. Right. It's the heart, you know. It's not mm-hmm. it's not doing a trick with your helmet, you know. It's not something that's like, oh, it's a funny little thing that I can jump on top of a grenade. It's being willing to sacrifice yourself.
Yeah. It's the thing that I said on my TikTok, which is just like, that moment is when he becomes Captain America in the first Avenger, when he jumps on that grenade and he's like, he wants to do the right thing so much. He says it. He's like, why does everyone else get to lay their life on the line and I don't get to? Like, he really wants to lay his life on the line for his country and to stop the Nazis.
Yeah.
And I think it was more of a, he felt like he was required to. If other people were doing it,
right,
he couldn't do any less.
Right, he shouldn't do any less. And I just absolutely love that moment, because I don't think, he's not doing that to win the points. He doesn't think it's a test. He literally looks around, he sees, you know, 8 or 9 people around him that he knows can go off to war and do great things to win the fight, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, it is best for me to die here and save everyone else. And that's the way I can have an impact on the world. And it's just
heart of a hero.
Such a great moment. Heart of a hero.
Yep. That is
hot take. Hot take. Captain America is heroic.
Hot take indeed. I've never heard that one before.
No.
I wonder if our new patron Brittany Anderson has heard of that.
I don't know, but are we gonna get into that?
Yeah, let's just jump right in.
Ash, do you want me to send you to your
send me away
the feedback cave?
Yeah.
All right.
Deuces.
Ash's going into her feedback cave, and we're gonna get into this feedback, and she's gonna collect the live feedback. Jeff, hit us with some feedback.
Brittany Anderson, our new patron, says, new patron here. He's super happy to support.
Hey, thanks.
I just wrote a review on Apple Podcasts with my thoughts on your recent discussions about civil rights in Marvel. Spoiler, as a person of color, I really appreciated it. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Brittany.
We really appreciated as many of those as we received this week, because we definitely received some of the other kind.
Did we? Yes.
Please, just go check out our 1-star reviews on iTunes.
Panda Army, we need you. 5 stars all day.
Yeah. Is it petty of me to feel vindicated when people of color write in to say that we're doing a great job talking about racism?
No.
And discussing it? Because, like...
Well, it's not about doing a great job. It's about the fact that, I think, personally, that it's about, like, just having the conversations and not shying away from them.
Yeah.
Right.
I do think it's important to, and I know there's people, even hearing us mention it now, that are going like, oh, they're doing it again. I'm going to go leave another 1-star review.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so political.
Just want to say, did you see the episode? Because I think Marvel kind of told you exactly what their standpoint is moving forward with it. And if that's how you feel about the show, I'm sorry that you're not going to enjoy it. I'm sorry.
It's true.
Thank you, Ashley.
Sorry.
That's the take that's accurate and needed and necessary. Like, that's the tough loving that we that we prize you for.
Thanks. Yeah, tell me I don't know about it. I'm from West Philadelphia, born and raised. I said it, so you didn't have to. All right. Thanks, Brittany.
That's great.
But yes, thank you, Brittany. When I rewatched this morning again, another line that I caught that really, like, I think, underscored the racism aspect a little bit that I hadn't caught before was Bucky comes in and he says, you have no right to turn down that shield.
Ooh.
And Sam said, I forget the exact line. I think I wrote it down.
Here's what you're not going to do.
You're not going to come here with your overextended life and tell me about my rights. And it's like he's underlining how much fewer rights his people had, you know, when Bucky was being raised, basically. And he's like, yeah. You're not going to come in here with that 1920s talk, you know?
I don't know that I took it that way.
You can interpret it differently, but that's definitely like, you're not going to come in here with your overextended life and tell me about my rights felt pretty pointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you take it? Feel free.
I don't know. I don't feel like he was saying that you're bringing your old perspective here. I feel like it was him saying, like, you and your life has gone completely fucking awry. Like, how dare you try to tell me what I can and can't do with mine?
Possibly. I don't think that he was saying, hey, Bucky, you're being a racist. I think he was saying that, like,
yeah, no.
You're not going to tell me what my rights are.
Yeah.
But underlining it by saying you're a man from the 20s and 30s. Like, you're not going to tell me what my rights are. I don't know.
Could have been.
He said it that way for a reason.
Seems like the two are connected, but maybe not. Maybe you're correct.
I don't know.
Let's get to the feedback. Anyway,
next up, Corey Small, a new patron, says, hello, guys. I used to only send in emails, but I listen to the podcast every week, and I thought, you know what? Why not join the Patreon? And here I am. You're actually my first patron donation. Cue audience applause. Anyway, glad to be here. Now on to the more serious stuff and why we're all here. MCU content, or more presently, Fatwas. In regard to the political aspects of this whole ordeal, I just want to say that I could give two wet farts about what's going on in the real world. I watch these films and television shows and this podcast to get away from the hustle and bustle of ordinary life. It's a shame we have to drag the dreaded aspects from our 9-to-5 into the most successful escape ever thought of. I'm not political and I'm not here to state my opinions on these matters. I just want to remind everyone of why we're here, and it's as follows. Marvel rocks our socks off. So sit back, stuff your face with popcorn or whatever Zarg nut you prefer, and let's enjoy this together. Now, assemble!
This is interesting.
I like the positive nature of that let's keep it fun. Let's keep it fun. Let's keep it light. And I'm down with that. Let's keep it fun. Let's keep it light. We're not gonna. I wrote him back on Patreon, I'm sure, but we're not gonna shy away from the issues. But yes, that is why we're here. This stuff is awesome. I love this. I love all this stuff.
Yeah. Right.
The storytelling of Marvel opens the door for these discussions. And I mm-hmm. and, but like it also is just fun, and it is good popcorn time. So
yeah. If the Baltimore scene wasn't enough to show you know. What they're trying to say with and inside the show and how impossible it's going to be for us to shy away from it, then I don't know, you know, what else to tell you.
Yeah. Honestly, we've been hit at both sides with 1-star reviews of people saying that we aren't knowledgeable enough or we aren't enough to have racial discussions. And then we've had 1-star reviews on the other side saying that, like, you know, just don't have any discussions.
Yeah.
It's not okay. And like, we're going to, it's where we fall on this issue. Like it, and like, we're just going to have the discussions mm-hmm. that this show leads to. Yeah. And I just don't even think we really even need to touch on it that much more. Like, it's just going to be there. And I think the people that are that pissed off in either direction, I'm sorry, guys. It's just, this is obviously a more divisive topic than it should be.
Maybe come back for Loki.
Yes. If you're that upset, maybe come back for Loki.
We're just doing the best we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And doing what our own consciences lead us to do. Ever forward.
Yeah.
Ever forward. Susan Parabo on Gmail said, hi, not only am I a new listener to your podcast, but I'm new to the MCU. I was a casual fan before, but a few months ago, my 14-year-old daughter got obsessed And since then, I've watched all the movies with her multiple times and got totally sucked into Wanda and now Fatwas.
Fatwas.
I started looking around for a podcast that I could, or that could feed my MCU hunger, and you guys are it. I'm writing specifically to say not only is your show awesome overall, but I think you're doing a great job with the race discussion. Sadly, I think we may all have to say civil rights is not a political issue repeatedly for the rest of our lives, and some people still won't believe it, but I love how you back that up with the brilliant, beautiful statement from Stan Lee on the most recent cast. Please, please keep doing what you're doing. The balance is just right.
Thank you very much.
And who brought up that beautiful, brilliant statement from Stan Lee?
The statement was brilliant, not necessarily bringing it up, but yeah.
Oh, no, she said she loved it, Matt.
She loved it.
She said she loved it.
I also loved it. Actually, the edit that made the podcast. I know you don't listen to the podcast.
I don't listen to my own voice. What are you talking about?
I mean, who does? Who listens to their own podcast? But actually, we started talking after someone wrote in a question, and we started talking, and we meandered around the point, and we kind of like talked about whether we should talk about this stuff, and we were standing basically saying the same stuff, but we were like really meandering about it, and then finally you were like, let me just read this from Stan Lee. And so when I edited the podcast, I just cut out all the stuff where we were meandering around. It was just like someone asked the question and you just read the Stan Lee thing, I think.
That's even better.
Yeah, much, much better.
Oh, thank you for editing me to be freaking brilliant, Matt. You're the best.
It seemed like we were really prepared. It was great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was very prepared.
No, if you go back and watch the video, you can watch you Googling. You're like, I remember this thing. Like, your eyes are looking at the screen like...
I saw a thing recently. Oh, it's right here.
Have we got any... I know we don't have that much time. And okay. I don't want this entire episode just to be about us either being patted on the back or reprimanded for talking about race. So is there any like feedback that's just like fun and interesting about the show that we can just like jump into?
Well, here's another one. The very next one, Jeffrey James, longtime fan and patron, says
one of our first people that was writing in regularly.
Yep. He says, Tony may have funded the Avengers, but Pepper wasn't a fan of the Avengers when Tony was alive. Why would she want to spend even a single cent on the quote-unquote superhero life when that stuff resulted in the death of her husband? She probably doesn't even want to hear the word Avenger ever again.
I don't know that she was not a fan of the Avengers, right? Like, she was not a fan of Tony continuing to fight, like, literally get in an Iron Man suit and fight. I don't even think she even necessarily minded him, like, fund all his like project of trying to save the world. Mm-hmm. I think generally she liked that, probably.
Wasn't Happy involved with a lot of stuff in Far From Home?
He was.
Like that stuff still be being funded? Like all the Stark tech and stuff would technically still be kind of funded by that? You know how he makes...
Well, it's the foundation. It's the foundation that he started. But no, like there was specifically in Infinity War when Tony and Pepper were talking about... Tony's dream, and Pepper was like, if you wanted us to have a life, if you wanted us to be together like that, you wouldn't have made that, and pointed at his new chess piece.
Right.
And he's like,
I don't think it's that she hated the Avengers, though. Like, or that even there was a team of defending Earth. I think it's more that she hated that Tony would not give up his like personal involvement as Iron Man.
Right.
I think she would have been fine funding the Avengers and Tony being involved in it. Like, but it's just a matter of like him being in a suit, risking his life every day. Yeah. And in the end, she came to terms with the fact that he was never going to give it up because he wouldn't be at peace. That's who he was, you know? But I don't know. I get the feeling that it was more of just that personal, him personally putting himself in danger, that was a problem. Because they wanted to have kids and get married and all this stuff. And she was like, you're out there fighting aliens and monsters, and I need you to not do that, to prioritize us. But in the end, she was like, yeah, I get that's who you are.
Yeah. Ashley, I hate to steal your thunder for just a second, but I am a fan of the God of Thunder. I glanced over at the chat just for a brief moment, and saw that Rob Arbreeze put in comparison you can be a fan of the military, but not want your significant other going to war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he being a vet is very likely involved in that sort of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understands so that.
Yeah, that's the word I was going for. He understands that. Anyway, so that's a great comparison for Pepper and Tony there. But I think maybe the bitterness, or rather maybe Pepper is bitter over Tony having lost his life, in such a way to this sort
it's
of
possible.
Yeah.
For sure. Thing,
and that embittered her.
For sure, though in the end, she was in the suit fighting beside him.
Yeah, she kind of told him, like, she knew he wouldn't rest, and,
Yeah,
he gave her an out.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the end, she really did encourage it, so.
Yeah, she's like, it's okay as long as I get a suit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's how I feel about it, too. Like, it's fine, but you got to include me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I didn't even think about it last time. Like, I was talking about, when they lived at the Avengers thing, they probably had money and this and that. I completely forgot that whole thing got completely annihilated and Tony sold Stark Tower. So there's literally nowhere for anybody to live right now. There's no base.
Right. There's no Avengers anything. Yeah.
Sword maybe has that base. But other than that,
they probably have some other facilities if the Avengers are a thing at all. It's very possible the Avengers just don't exist right now.
Yeah. I don't know, the way that kid in the first episode or that person was like, the Avengers.
In the comics, Young Avengers is like brought together by like the ghost of Vision or something like that.
Oh, God.
Like the Vision's programming. Yeah. And I just wonder if like the Young Avengers could be brought together by White Vision. Like he tries to take on like the mission of his original version and like create the Avengers, and he does that by reaching out to like powered people throughout the whatever. I don't know.
Oh yeah, Mr. Stark kept a list of superpowered individuals that in the event of his untimely demise would be activated to form a new team.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well done. That was good. That was good dialogue you just wrote there.
Thank you. Marvel, cut the check.
Cut the check. Moving forward.
Trina Carpenter. I know Ashley really wants to hear this one. Mm-hmm. Trina Carpenter says, hey, Ashley, the perfect lady in the chair, my queen, my fellow thirsty Bucky Stan, probably witch in disguise, and my hero, heart.
Thanks, girl. Hey, girl, I see you.
Oh, and hi, Matt and Jeff and Jay Scotty.
Yep, we should have done it. We told them last week that Ashley's the one that's picking the feedbacks, and now and putting them in order. And now they know
she is not above bribery.
Easily bribed.
Trina goes on to say, "I'd just like to say that how you handled the fatuous political and racial discussions was nearly perfect. It's absolutely stupid how many people are mad. I like the discussion a lot. It didn't feel like it took over the pot or anything like that. I think you handled it very well. If you would have ignored the racial and political bit of fatuous, it would have made people mad as well, and you just ignored it. It would have been so tone deaf and so much worse than talking about it. Addressing it and talking about it was the right way to go. Mad props to y'all. You're doing amazing. Keep on doing you."
Truth is, I was literally like, after we recorded that one podcast where we went particularly into things, got into the political more. And I was fully like, after the podcast, like, I'm going to edit some of that out. Like, we went a little too far. And then I was listening to myself in my impassioned discussion. And one of the things I was like, and it's just not okay to be quiet about this. And I was like, I can't edit this. Like, I can't edit all this out, you know?
Yeah.
I can't edit at least the major points of it.
Yeah. We're going where the show takes us. I hope everyone's along for the ride.
For sure. And of course, where our own consciousnesses take us and where we, what we think. This is our show. We talk about the things we think.
It's my space. Get your own.
I have a microphone and you don't. So you will listen to every goddamn word I have to say.
But here's the thing, though. The truth is, this is not just our show. It is also the listener's show. And that's what we're doing right now. We wrangle up all the feedback and get it going.
Anthony Bragg on Twitter said, "Hiya, big fan of your podcast. I found it about a month ago during WandaVision. Now I can't wait to listen every week. Fuckwits is set after WandaVision, right? Did you notice how Rhodey said to Sam that some allies are now enemies? Could he be alluding to Wanda? Thanks.
Ooh.
Rhodey said that?
Rhodey said that, yeah, in the first episode.
I had forgotten about that line because there's a similar kind of line in WandaVision. There's the, we have a lot of enemies out there, and she's like, we have a lot of allies too. And it's almost as if those who live through the 5-year blip are like, not that many allies. Like, enemies are becoming allies. Or whatever, strike that, reverse it.
Allies are becoming enemies.
Willy Wonka over here.
Thank you. Yes, got the Willy Wonka reference.
I'm a little too young. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
It's not true.
You're older than me. You mean that Johnny Depp movie?
Yeah.
You put so much vocal fry on that. Thank you for that, Ashley.
I totally saw it.
I hate everything right now. Dylan Bruce Hunsinger on Facebook sent us a message. Hey guys, I don't know if this theory has been tossed around or not, so hopefully this isn't wasting your time. If it was, then Mephisto? Okay, anyway, so my theory is, what if Bucky assassinated Riley, Sam's wingman, in Captain America the Winter Soldier?
Ooh.
Which is cut was Sam tells Steve that he and his wingman were on a standard rescue mission when an RPG knocked him out of the sky. I'm sure they don't want to fully revisit the entire Civil War plot, even have Zemo reveal it again. But it could be an explanation as to why Bucky is ignoring Sam's texts. I could even potentially see them doing a reveal of it like they did in Civil War, but as opposed to reacting like Tony did, Sam knew the whole time. And while there are still emotional scars from that happening, maybe he's quicker to understand that Bucky didn't have any control over what he did than Tony did. Maybe this is what pushes Bucky to tell Yuri about his son. Or maybe, you know, hey, maybe Mephisto shot down Riley. Maybe Mephisto is the one that reveals it all. Maybe Mephisto is blocking Bucky's text to Sam.
That's it.
See, we got there.
Totally
we
got there.
Keep this up the great theory. Work. Love you guys 3,000. Or as my 4-year-old would say, to 100.
to 100. Yep. Let me, that feedback is sadistic. that's the worst. That's the worst.
I love it.
It's a great idea. I don't think they're going to do it for a couple of reasons. Mostly, it would very much be retreading Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's a little too similar. Like, you killed my mom. You killed my...
You killed my partner.
You killed everybody, Bucky. You're such a murderer.
Right. Yeah. We can't go back and make every person that died in the past be with Winter Soldier's fault. Although a lot of them could be. And I would love, in a Winter Soldier show, for us to find those things out. But this show is, like, about their friendship. And also, they were friends, like, for a couple years before this, like all that Civil War times and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I would think that they would have talked about this already, if that makes sense.
Oh, but
I guess he was in Wakanda.
But he's not much of a talker.
True. And he was in Wakanda becoming the White Wolf.
The White Wolf.
Like, oh, you the White Panther now? You spend some time in Wakanda? You think you quiet?
I loved that line. That's
too.
So good.
He's like, I'm a white wolf. He was like, huh?
I love that you put your Philly spin on it. you really? Like, oh, you think you're stealthy now?
You think you're quiet?
All the time in Wakanda.
It's just the White Panther crapping around.
Jeff, I don't think that was on purpose. That was
just comes out from here to there.
And now you're. Now you're really, really like making fun of her a little bit. I feel like you should calm down.
Yeah, you sexist male.
Oh no! Why bring that one up?
Oh, I had to.
I actually want to respond to that one because I don't think she was coming from a bad place. We were looking through our many 1-star reviews because we talked about racism.
I knew this was going to happen. Do you want me to cue
and
it
we
up?
Found one. Yeah, sure. Okay. If you want, if you got it handy.
I think I do.
Great content, but low key sexist. I love this podcast, but in the most recent episode, they questioned if Elizabeth Olsen understood the gravity behind her statement that the final episode would have a Luke Skywalker in Mandalorian reveal, quote unquote. It was just a weird comment to make and didn't sit right with me. Would they have said that if it was already Jay? really disappointed because I loved listening to this show, but now I just feel on edge waiting for them to put down another female MCU character, hoping for an apology and growth from these podcasters.
Ugh, erroneous. This is just an erroneous remark.
I really am sorry that it came out that way, that it was... I could have said it in a way that would be perceived that way. I'm not sure who said it, but I remember having that discussion. It was probably me. I remember having that discussion. So like, it's very possible that I said that. But honestly, here is what I was talking about, is the fact that like, I don't think any Hollywood younger person would not immediately think that they would understand what a Luke Skywalker reveal would mean. That's really where I think of Star Wars and Star Trek and as kind of a geeky pursuit, at least it was when we were younger.
Yeah.
And like to really understand, to really like love Luke Skywalker most, and this is brash generalizations, most are like kind of geeky. I mean, it's what we do. It's like, It's a stereotype, but it's true, and it's how I grew up.
And she's 32, right?
Right. Yes. She's a little younger than me, and so she's younger, and she if anything maybe ageist. But I did not. If a male who had grown up in Hollywood whose sisters were famous, like all that stuff makes me like I don't think of her as like a geeky person. Is all.
Right.
But she does really, but see, like she loves the Marvel comics, especially the Scarlet Witch stuff, but I don't know if that's like from prior to her being cast.
Well, wasn't that not even real? She didn't even say that. Right?
What?
When it came down to it, that was a false thing too, on top of everything.
Like she was misquoted.
Like, yeah.
From what I understand, a reporter came at her real hard asking her that question and like kind of pushed that question on her, and she said like, oh yeah, we've got big reveals like that, like trying to make her show sound good. I think literally the context of the interview makes it sound like she doesn't really know what that scene in The Mandalorian meant to people who like grew up with Star Wars. Like that's what I meant. Like I literally meant what she said didn't exactly sound like it. Like I don't think that girls can't like Star Wars.
Right.
At all. I know lots of girls.
I know who Luke Skywalker is, god damn it.
Yeah. Honestly, like I have more female friends than all of my male friends are big Star Trek fans, and I have way more female friends that are big Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying that guys are more logical than women?
Oh god.
Women have to like Moving Star on. Wars.
I did not say that. I just like the kids I grew up with, a lot of the males I grew up with were big Star Trek fans. Like we all watched and talked about Star Trek a lot. And then a lot of my female friends that I grew up with were all Star Wars fans. So I like really don't have that as a like stereotype even.
Yeah, I agree to that. I wasn't that into Star Trek. I used to have to watch it with my smoking Scottish babysitter, but I was real into Star Wars. She's like, the stories are on.
I know a lot of Star Trek fans that are female as well. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any correlation there at all. It's just like, that's the thing. I don't think of it as a correlation. It's all I'm saying. And I really do apologize that it came off that way.
Matt, put the shovel down.
It didn't. We're fine.
I don't think I'm still shoveling. I think I made my point okay. You're probably right.
Ricardo Jimenez on Gmail says... Oh, sorry. I love transitions like that where it's so awkward. Sent us an email. Says, hey guys, your caffeinated friend Rick from the Amazon truck again. The other times I've written in with theories or feedback, it's usually laced with dumbass jokes and poor attempts at comedy, much like in the Star Wars trivia chat. But I just had to quickly write in and say the Falcon and the Winter Soldier cast from Tuesday was my favorite yet. All three of you have an open mind and discussing the social aspects of the show while sticking firmly to your stance after logical and reasonable debate is inspiring, satisfying, and appreciated. Like so many other people around the world, but more specifically America, I am of mixed race. And for this show to represent many people and explore different facets of life within the context of Marvel, and then also have the MCU cast discuss it further It's my favorite time in the MCU and my favorite time to be an MCU cast listener. Very appreciative to all three of you four, including Fox. I'm sticking with you all for as long as the show exists. Still waiting on my 4K TV, so I'll stick to loving you 3K. Rick.
Thanks, Rick. I get it. Amazon truck, you're my hero. You make sure the world keeps turning.
Yep, for real.
Rick's the real hero here.
Yeah.
That whole essential worker thing, like, really did hit me during the height of the pandemic, like, how appreciative I am of people that do stuff, like, do that kind of work.
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store, like, in the middle of the pandemic. I think it was, like, the thing that, like, made me, like, fall apart. The first thing that, like, really made me fall apart was I went to the grocery store with a list, as I do every week, of things I was going to get because we did our meal planning and we did our, like, list that we needed of stuff from the grocery store. And I went there and none of the stuff I wanted was there. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff we'd planned on was not there. And it was just, like, the privilege of living in a country where I can go to the grocery store and know what's going to be there every week.
Yeah.
Right.
Was suddenly gone. And, like, that's...
And you panicked.
I did.
Did you shoot someone that day?
Is that a Southern joke?
It's because whenever we panic, we just start firing.
Yeah, it's a real Yosemite Sam situation.
We're at the fracking darn tootin'. That's just Alabama for you.
Oh, man, if it weren't true.
You got them snakes.
Yeah, like that really, like, and I just started thinking a lot about all the people that deliver stuff and, like, really, like, I know that sounds like a small thing, but, like, we went in there. At one point, we went into the grocery store and there was no meat.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, it was so meat, strange.
The meat and deli counter. There's just no meat at the deli counter. And, like, I had to buy, like, I had searched the grocery store for protein. Like, I was, like, looking for any kind of protein I could find. It was weird and, like,
picking up random cans. Does this have protein in it?
Well, it's like, oh, they don't have this meat, but they have a frozen version. It's like, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. This will work for now. But I was getting like, yeah, they were just running out of all meat. It was crazy.
Oh, man.
I couldn't get chicken breasts. I had to get thighs. No. Oh. It's the worst.
Arbree says, just throw this out there. Arbree says, my wife is a nurse. She's a goddamn boss, and I can't say that enough. What she went through is unfathomable.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And my girlfriend is a therapist, and she mostly dealt with people after they had COVID, but dealt with a lot of it. And being in the hospital every day, especially at the height of the real fear when we really didn't understand the disease at all, and knowing she was going to the hospital every day where she knows that she's dealing with people every day that have it, but she doesn't know. We just didn't know how scary it was exactly. Like, now we have at least some picture of, like, oh, these are the risk factors. But, like, at the beginning, it was just like, oh, there's this thing that's floating, and if someone touched it, you're going to die. It was a scary time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to Alyssa, and thank you to Rob's wife.
Thank you to Big Daddy Dev. He deals with post-COVID patients too. Thank you to everybody who does that stuff for real.
Thank you to Rick for being there delivering stuff for us.
Yeah. The world kept turning and I stayed home mostly and made podcasts. And,
Made a whole music video about your coronation.
I did.
That was good stuff.
I did indeed.
Winston Gordon sent us an email, said, I just want to say that I really appreciate you guys not shying away from tough conversations about race, especially when that's obviously a topic the show is going to be going into, and it would be disingenuous not to discuss. As a black man, seeing black people going through situations that are all too familiar and stuff like this is always meaningful. I also know with everything going on in the world, making any comment at all will guarantee that you will lose listeners, which sucks. So to say thanks, I just became a patron. Honestly, it's a bit overdue, so I'm not sorry for it. I'm sorry for not doing it earlier. God, I can't read today. But after listening to the last pod, I can't not help out the little that I can. Keep doing what you're doing, Winston. Thank you, Winston, so much.
Thank you so much, Winston. I'm not sure I've seen that one yet. I always try to write a personal message to the patrons when they become patrons. And since my computer crashed, I haven't been able to do that for a few days. And a lot of people, we had a lot, I don't think we lost any patrons over this.
No, we gained some.
We gained a few, and we got a lot of 1-star reviews, but we didn't. I don't think any of the people who were patronizing actually backed off, which is very sweet.
Patronizing is such a funny word.
Yeah, patronizing is a funny word. Thank you so much for becoming a patron, Winston. Really appreciate you. And everybody who's becoming a patron. We really need to do our read everybody's names on the podcast. We haven't done that in a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We haven't done that in a while, and we owe for a few months of those. And so maybe we'll just do a few a week and just thank them.
Yeah.
Because we need to be doing that.
Nathaniel Blinar sent us a Twitter message saying new shield theory. This new shield, seen at the end of Endgame, is very different from any other shield we've seen. Sam says it feels like it belongs to someone else. Steve says it doesn't, implying that the shield belongs to Sam. This theory goes two ways. Time-traveling Cap actually obtained the shield from Sam Wilson in the future, with instructions to bring it back to past Sam. And theory two is that time-traveling Steve is in another timeline, where Sam Wilson Cap dies and Steve brings it back to our Sam Wilson.
I like this theory. It's a lot of fun. I think it's a little reading too much into that line. I think he's just saying, I think there's a much simpler way. Occam's Razor, I think, says that there's a very simple explanation. He's just saying, like, it's yours now. It's a cute way of saying that. But I do love the, like, theory. I like the crackpot theory. Thank you.
Yeah, I am a fan of crackpot theories, but I think I have to agree with you on the Occam Razor's take. On this, it felt like with the music in the moment and the emotion of it, like,
and the way he delivered it, he just had this little smirk, like, well, it's not.
Yeah.
It felt like
this is your shield, Sam. Like, this is yours. You deserve it. You have earned it with your heroism, your heart drive. Like, I've seen the way that the world has gone for the past 5 years, and I really think that you're the one to lead us forward as Captain America. That's what I took it as.
Yeah, for sure.
I think audio cut out again. I can't hear Matt. I can see him flailing on the stream.
Hey, Slay live stream. I think you can hear me yelling into Jeff's microphone. I can't figure out how to get my audio back. So they're going to do the end of the cast without me. But I love you all, 3,000.
Oh, no.
And I'll try to get this working before next time.
Okay.
I'm going to shut myself down.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, man. Okay. So we'll get to the feedback in the chat. I have about three good ones. Sunny Tetris says, if Zemo forms a team of supervillains, who would he recruit? Was Batroc brought back for this, maybe?
Ooh, Batroc the Leaper.
Oh, oui, oui. Maybe.
I like... Ooh. Well, no, okay. I kind of like Blonsky. I like the idea of Blonsky coming back. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Zemo would want that. I think Zemo wants people that he can control.
Yeah. That's his
And I don't
game.
Know that Blonsky is necessarily that.
Hmm. I don't know. It all depends on where they're going with the story. It's hard to, like, guess. Who is in the Masters of Evil?
Who's in the first Masters of Evil? Oh, God, I don't know.
Let's see.
Let's find out. Masters of Evil... first version was in The Avengers number 6.
Radioactive Man. Who's Paste Pot Pete?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's interesting. Black Knight is one of the first Masters of Evil.
Is he an Eternal?
Yeah, he's gonna be an Eternal as well. The version of him that is for the version of Black Knight that is the descendant who became the hero. I can't remember his freaking name at this point. But he's the one that's going to be in Eternals. He's played by
Jon Snow.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. Jon Snow is his name.
Hattie McAbs. What the hell's his name? I can't remember.
Jon Snow.
Yeah, it's Jon Snow. Chip Harrington or something. Kit Harrington.
Kit Harrington. There
just
it is.
Had to work it
we
out.
Got there.
Chip.
Took a minute. So are we going to see Kit Harrington show up in the show?
I hope so. Probably
you want him in every show, I know.
Yeah. Sans,
the
sure.
The thirst is real.
He's just not allowed to think or speak.
Or wear a shirt.
Yeah, or wear a shirt.
Yeah, that tracks.
Okay. Plowing forward.
Okay.
Our Breeze says, going off the White Wolf, do you guys think that there that will come back into play as a new identity or ethos for Bucky, since the Winter Soldier is probably taboo to say in regards to a hero? I like that, because he did say he's no longer the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Well, he corrected Falcon to say that he was the White Wolf. You know, he said it's actually White Wolf. But
yeah.
In comics, there's precedent for there being a character called White Wolf that is like a big proponent of Wakanda. Because he, you know, loves Wakanda so much. He was an outsider, got taken in.
They took care of him.
And yeah, they took care of him. They adopted him and everything. Like, that could be the way that they go. I don't know that it's necessarily going to follow the same track as that guy. Because,
right.
Like, he thought he was going to be a, like, next in line for the throne kind of guy.
Ooh.
And then, like, they were like, you know, I expect to get, or they, no, they wanted to show up T'Challa by being like a better Wakandan, like, you know, real competitive or whatever, but eventually got put in charge of the Wakandan, like, secret army or secret service or secret police, paramilitary kind of thing. But yeah. There's precedent for that identity in the comics, and like it's never, as far as I know, it's never revealed like who is actually under that guise.
I'd so love that.
Could be Bucky.
Yeah, he does need a new mantle.
He needs a purpose is what he needs.
And I would love him going back and showing up in like Black Panther 2.
Yeah, I would too. I feel like in this episode, Bucky finally found some purpose, like found something to do.
Yeah.
Like
idle hands, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he seems so much more energetic,
Bucky-ish,
I guess.
And
upbeat. Yeah. Like his old self kind of thing. But in the first episode when the doc was like, you know, you're a free man, and he said, to do what? And he was just kind of like, I don't know what, you know, I don't have a purpose. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life right now.
I feel like the most emotion we saw from him is when he broke Red Wing, or when they broke Red Wing over the knee, and he was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to do that. I lost my shit. Like, I laughed so hard. He acted that line in his face. He was so sincere. I was like, the emotion, I feel it.
Yep, it's there. It's real. It's visceral. It's real. It's right there.
My favorite part, probably. You have three guys on you kicking your ass, and you had enough time to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like when I see a puppy. Oh my God.
I wanted to do that.
But it was equally as satisfying getting to see it, I feel like.
Yeah.
He was happy. He was like, oh, what a release.
And then later he was like, I'm sorry about Red Wing.
He's like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't you lie to me, you sack of shit. I love that was foreshadowed, though, when he was laying on the ground after falling out of the plane. I mean, jumping out of the plane. When he's like, Get out of my face, Sam, or I'll break it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet you felt bad about that comment.
Yeah, right?
Oh, it's fun.
And then he said, I always wanted to do that. So, you know, he really felt it. It was
yeah.
Great.
At least he was still having feelings about that.
Yeah.
They're still in there. All right. Okay.
What's our last
one? SparkSam85 says, I'm late, and I don't know if you all hit this yet, but do we think we will get Sharon on the next episode, and what do you all think her role will be? Is she still CIA? Is she actually going to be a flag masher? Or flag masher? Flag smasher? Keep up the great work. What did Sam say happened to her? That she's like...
She got branded enemy of the state.
Yeah, that's no good, according to Will Smith. No good. Local hero, if you didn't know.
Will Smith, Gene Hackman.
Back in 6 degrees, everything back to my local hero.
Oh my God, that is so funny. IMDb shows her as, credits her as having 4 episode appearances, so
okay, yeah,
she's probably gonna be there for the rest of it.
Wow, yeah, I don't like how short this show is. I know everyone's like, don't talk about the time, and just it's a gift. It is a gift, but it's 6 is too short.
Yeah, right. We're looking a gift horse in the mouth for more episodes. You've got them.
Give happened them, at give 8, them. 10, or 12. Those were good whole numbers.
It's nice round number.
Yeah, you're 6. Mephisto. Oh, we got it.
We got there. As far as her role, though, I don't know. I mean, she pulled a real freaking Daredevil in the trailer. Yeah. So, Daredevil season 1 in Netflix, where he was... I keep forgetting you didn't watch the Daredevil Netflix show.
Who are you talking to?
I thought you didn't.
Are you crazy?
Okay, never mind.
Charlie Cox is my Matt Murdock for life. I was the one who used to write on the cast. I'm like, Matt, you shut your goddamn mouth about Iron Fist. He fits into it perfectly.
Okay, all right. Sorry. I retract my entire statement. Do you remember in the first episode of season 1 of Daredevil when he's in between he was saving the girls in the shipping yard, bouncing the stick off of everything, kicking everybody's ass? It looks like that's what Sharon does when she shows up.
Yeah.
But past that, there's not going to be 4 episodes of that scene. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I bet. No, I hope she's after the flag smashers from a different side, or after maybe the power broker.
Oh, yeah. She could be hunting the power broker. Approaching it from that angle. You know what I would love? I would love to see Sharon Carter show up hunting either the Flag Smashers or Power Broker or both, and just have so much more information than Torres.
Yeah.
Because Torres is the guy that's like, oh yeah, these guys have been showing up online, and I've been in forums and everything. She's like, oh yeah, well, I have been in all of their meetings. I know their entire portfolio. I just have to get to where that guy is. I want her to have so much more data.
Yeah.
And have been doing so much a better job than Doris.
Well, I wonder, I mean, she was in Fury's, little group there. I'm sure he, in a way, probably has been in contact with her, if not helping her stay undercover.
Neighbor.
So I wonder if she'll show up in more things.
If he's in space, I don't know how much help he's going to be.
That was a little while later. Where are we? What's the timeline? Remind me. 6 months? 3 months? 6 months.
Yeah, we're 6 months past the blip.
Okay.
And
Far From Home was 6 months after?
Far From Home was 7 or 8, okay. I think.
Okay. Maybe he made sure his affairs were in order before he took his break up in space.
Yeah, he's writing a list.
Yeah, I got Sharon. I got this person. That person. Maria Hill. What's she doing? I don't know. She's coming with me. That's what she's doing.
She's coming with me. Be sure that Maria eats her cereal every morning in a very particular way, because it's kind of her thing. Leaving very specific notes. And Tyler's just I get it. You have a machine that... Just go. Get out of here. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I feel like he's the universe's dad now.
Yeah. That really goes along with the art that I saw that was Nick Fury holding a bunch of toddlers and kids crawling all over him, and it was the Avengers. And they were all just like, and like Thor's hitting him with a little hammer.
Aww,
like
kids.
A little toy hammer. It's funny.
Adorable.
No, it just goes along with that. Yeah. It's not, you know, saying they're actually children. Don't think of them as actually children, Ashley. Okay. I know how violently you react to that.
anyway. Well.
So I guess that's going to be it for us today. Thank you, Ashley, for being the incredible producer that you always are. So sad we can't have you there on Fridays, you know, right when we watch the episode. But yeah,
meant to be.
It's meant to be,
Jay Scotty. It's okay.
It's okay.
And Jeff, you're doing a great time hosting. We have a lot of, you know, it's very few and far between the technical difficulties are this bad, but we, you know, the show must go on. And that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah. And that's how we roll. We roll with the punches forward, always forward, like in Luke Cage.
CJ, I can't jump on the Friday ones because I'm at my business work job.
My adulting work job.
Yeah, I go in it. Yeah, way
we're working
too early.
On getting this thing big enough so she can quit her business work job.
Yep. And then I can arrange flowers and stuff at the Stranded Panda headquarters.
yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah,
someday, mystical someday. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming along with us on this journey. Sorry we got super political, I guess, but I'm kind of not sorry.
Not sorry.
Fatwas.
Fatwas is bringing it out, man. We didn't write the show.
Join us on Wednesday nights for MCU trivia on Stranded Panda or on twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. We're going to have a great time every Wednesday for the foreseeable future. We start at 7 o'clock Central. That's when Matt starts playing music, usually. And then by about 7:30, we usually start the game. And then we have a great time after dark. Come and join us for that. And on Friday, we're going to watch the newest episode at 8 o'clock on Cedar. And then here on Twitch, Stranded Panda, or twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. I'll get it right someday on the first try. We live record the episode or our MCU cast episode to talk about it. Be there for that. Also, Matt would probably like you to know, check out Ventures Assemble on the network. There's Godzilla versus Kong is coming up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 2 days.
Yeah, they just did Justice League, the Snyder Cut, and Godzilla vs. Kong is coming up, and they're real excited about that. They've been doing the run-up to that. Great stuff all around, and let's see, what else? What else can we plug? I still haven't scheduled anything with John Niles for 4M, so, you know, we're still considering that dead.
Is that dead?
No, it's not dead. It's not dead. Oh. It's just... it's on the farthest back of back burners.
Get your pirates out. Feed the people.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for listening. And I guess we'll catch you on the next one. As Matt would say.
If I say peace, you say the other thing. We could do this. Okay, ready?
Okay. You do it.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
We're great. We nailed it. High fives all around.
All right, I'm going to stop recording.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV and available at youtube.com/StrandedPanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit StrandedPanda.com.